Thompson Guitars makes handcrafted instruments in Oregon. Their guitars are built with select tone woods, including Brazilian rosewood. Go to pktguitars.com for more information about their different models and appointments available from their custom shop.
There's ambition and there's aspiration, and you need a healthy balance of both. If you're purely ambition driven, then you knock everything out of your way.
Yeah.
If you're purely aspirational, you might not have enough ambition to really push yourself that far. So I think it's a balance for me. I want to stay aspirational. I want to involve spirit, and spirit is in the word aspiration.
Welcome to the Travis Book Happy Hour podcast. I'm Travis Book. This episode is brought to you by Thompson Guitars, makers of fine instruments, handmade with love, in Sisters, Oregon. The podcast is presented by Americana Vibes and The Bluegrass Situation, and our show is part of the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. You can dive into all things roots music anytime at thebluegrasssituation.com. Drummers don't always get a lot of love or attention. For example, name the drummer in your favorite band. But mention the name of Jeff Sipe to nearly any musician and their eyes light up. Also known as Apartment Q258, he was a founding member of Aquarium Rescue Unit with Colonel Bruce Hampton, which also counted Oteil Burbridge of Dead & Company and Jimmy Herring of Widespread Panic as its members. I first heard him via bootlegs of early Leftover Salmon, and he's toured with Tedeschi Trucks, Trey Anastasio, and Warren Haynes. Regarded as one of the best drummers alive, he's also just a normal guy who lives down the street from me and who says yes to pretty much any gig I ask him to join me on. Words really don't do him justice. He's just so wonderful and kind and supportive, I could hardly believe my good fortune getting to make music with him. This episode was recorded live at 185 King Street in Brevard, North Carolina on April 4th of 2023. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Bill. Let's play some music. We just got a trio tonight. We're so glad that you all are here. It's going to be a great night of music. Perfect weather in the best venue I've ever been in, 185 King Street. Thank you.
Little too long to be away. I must have stayed up just a little too late. The sun is breaking out of the cold. Morning's still hours from getting too old. As the world's taking shape, it helped me feel better than I did yesterday. Some things just change with time. See how it looks as I'm walking on down the line. A little too much hanging around, a little too much just feeling down. I'm just a little too tired of this little old town. little too fast. If I'ma move on, my soul ain't gonna last. Feeling a little too broken in two. Half of me's gone, the rest don't know what to do. Little too much hanging around, a little too much just feeling down. I'm just a little too tired holding my ground. Just a little too tired of this little load, and I feel like I'm down to the wire. This little load, I'm just a little too tired of this little load town. When they lay me down for the last time, these tired hands resting on my breast. I don't want none of that weeping, good Lord, because you know this boy's gone where it's been.
Just like we practiced it.
It's different every time.
Thank you.
That's Daniel Seraph.
Safe.
I've done interviews before, but never in front of an audience. It's always been like on the phone or something.
Yeah, this is, you know, if it gets too uncomfortable, Jeff, just pull on your ear. Just give me the sign.
I don't have the drum set to hide behind, so.
I'll try to make this easy on you. Thank you all so much again for humoring us and letting us do this here. So Jeff, you were born in Berlin.
I was born.
You were born. And you were raised in Southeast Asia.
That's correct. My father worked for the government, and so did my mom. And so I was born in Berlin. All three of us kids were my older brother and younger sister until I was about two. And then we moved to Saigon, Vietnam, until I was about five.
Wow.
And then to Bangkok, Thailand, until I was about eight. We came to the States for a couple of years and then right back to Germany. So my junior high school was in Frankfurt, Germany.
Wow.
And that's where I picked up the drums when I was 11 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say, when did you first sort of really discover rhythm and rhythm playing?
Well, I was told I was standing in front of the speakers as a toddler, just kind of grooving out, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess it was in the cards.
And so then the next question, subsequent question is, when did you know that you would dedicate your life?
At 14, I had a good day of practice. And I felt, oh, wow, I cracked an egg, you know, maybe I can do this. Something I can do, anyway, one thing I can do. So I remember going outside, sitting down in my driveway, back against the garage wall. And I closed my eyes and I listened to everything in the neighborhood. I could hear the dogs barking, the kids playing, the tires on the road, the airplane in the sky. And I was just open, you know. And right then and there, I made a deal. I went to the crossroads and I made a deal.
Yes.
And I said, God, please, you know, if you'll just take care of me, I just want a comfortable life playing drums, play with cool people. You know, and get by, and I'll spread love wherever I go, and that's been my deal ever since.
That's amazing.
I should have made a better deal, right?
Been a little bit more specific in your negotiations. I mean, you know, you have a beautiful family. You live in Brevard, North Carolina.
That's right.
Your car runs. I mean, what else could you really ask for?
You know, for a self-employed drummer, that's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. So you studied music at Berklee School of Music, and so many musicians have gone through there. Two of the people in my band even went there. What's one of your best memories of that era?
Wow. That's like jazz boot camp.
Yeah.
Gosh, there were students from all over the world there, from you name it, any country, and somebody was there. People from Israel, people from Japan, some of the greatest musicians I saw up there, you know. So I met Steve Vai.
Yeah.
And we had a band together when I was 18 and he was 17.
Sick.
And that was called Winter. And we had a blast. So we still stay in touch. And he's a great guy. He fed me when I was hungry, when I was starving. So I have nothing but good things to say about Steve Vai. That's a good memory.
That's awesome. Yeah. Berklee, they do good things there, you know. School of Music isn't for everybody, but they've turned out a lot of wide-open people.
I heard it's an 80% dropout rate.
Are you serious?
Yeah, people go there thinking, oh, I want to be a musician. And then a year into it or a few weeks into it, they're like, uh-uh. I got to rethink my life, you know.
That's amazing. John Mayer wrote a song about that. Where did the moniker Apartment Q258 come from?
Well, I worked with Bruce Hampton. Colonel Bruce Hampton retired. He was like an uncle to me. But everybody that worked with him got a moniker or a nickname. So it was his conviction that nobody really was who they said they were. Okay. So he gave you a name.
Okay.
But I got stuck with an address, you know.
Yeah. What's the single most important thing you learned from Bruce?
Intention, intention, intention. What you think comes true.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's you're right.
That's it, man. Yeah, that you don't have to say any more.
Right.
That's it. What you think comes true. The first time I saw you play, that I remember, because I might have seen you play with Salmon.
Yeah.
But those are some fuzzy years for me. The first time that I was really aware of what was going on, I was watching ARU in Nashville, Aquarium Rescue Unit. It was our Dobro Players bachelor party.
Uh-huh.
And we were all just absolutely mind blown. That band has a great reputation. What made that ensemble so special?
Well, when I met Bruce, he was on fire. I mean, there was laser beams coming out of his eyes. He had so much energy. And because of that, he attracted a lot of creative people. And it turns out a lot of the musicians who really couldn't express themselves on their normal gig would go to Bruce, and Bruce would allow them to play anything they wanted, however they wanted. So the freedom that Bruce allowed us was limitless. The sky was the limit. So we pushed ourselves, we practiced nonstop, and we stayed on the road forever, and that's really what, you know, got us together. And all of us were just kind of treating music almost like a sport, but having more fun than we should.
Right.
And it was just fabulous.
That sounds right. And that core group was Colonel Bruce, Matt Mundy, yeah. Jimmy Herring.
Yeah, O'Teal Burbridge.
And O'Teal Burbridge.
Right.
And those are, you know, those are the who's who of those guys play in the biggest bands in the world.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people that came through the Bruce Hampton camp have gone on to do really special things.
That's so cool. So you, Jeff, you play all kinds of music, and
I have to.
And you got to eat,
right?
You've yet to turn down a gig that I've asked you to play, which blows my mind. I called you once when we lost our drummer, and you had another gig already, and so you recommended somebody who turned out to be a great recommendation. But for the most part, you're available. Now, granted, I do call you on Tuesdays.
Yeah, and thank you for that.
That's how you make sure you can get whatever musicians you really want to play with is you have a gig on Tuesday.
Because right.
No one plays on Tuesday.
Aside from that, though, you're brilliant, and I love to play with you. So.
Jeff, that's so kind of you, man. Well, I wasn't trying to make it about me, but thank you. That is a nice moment. I do love attention. That's why my name's on the marquee. But how do you decide what gigs to take?
Well, I used to take everything, no matter what. You know, money's tight over the years. And I always found something good in it, you know, no matter who I'm playing with. There's always something to grab onto and just love that.
Yeah.
And but lately, in my later years now, I'm 64. I've played with so many different bands that stayed on the road 200, almost 300 days a year. So at this time of my life, I'm enjoying a good balance of playing locally, doing a little bit of road work. I'm more selective than I used to be. Doing a lot of studio work and doing a lot of teaching, and I have a handful of kids that I'm teaching.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a drum set that lowers almost to the floor, so these little 5-6-year-old people can touch the bass, you know, get the hi-hat and the pedals working. It's wonderful.
That's so cool. Yeah, you, it's always just remarkable when I'll drop my son off, and then I'll come back a half an hour later, and not only is he playing this really cool stuff, but just to watch the two of you interact and to watch, there's just something really special about. I assume part of it for you is that there's got to be sort of some sense of sort of service to the music that you're
absolutely
you know. The music has been good for you, and the drums have been good to you, and somebody has to teach these 6 and 8 and 12 year old kids the fundamentals of rhythm, and even more than that, the love.
Well, yeah, that's infectious. I mean, if you have a good time, you're going to learn faster. And the little people, instead of bogging them down with notes and phrases and math and all that music theory, it's more like the Suzuki method, where I'll play a phrase and they'll answer, and I invite them to play a phrase and I'll answer it. And so we have this musical dialogue going on, and they pick up so much faster that way. I could try to explain it a million different ways, but really, you just get down to it and play and have a good time, and they latch on to that and latch on to the love and the joy of playing, and then the theory follows that.
Yeah, that's so cool. The first time I ever heard you play was on Leftover Salmon Bootlegs. How did you end up playing Polyethnic Cajun Slamgrass with Vince Herman and Drew Emmett? How did that happen?
Aquarium Rescue Unit, that kind of folded. And I moved on, and I played in a trio with the great Sean Lane from Memphis and Jonas Hellborg, bassist from Sweden. And we would we did a lot of tours in Europe and across the States. But that was a candle that was lit on both ends, and so it doesn't last quite as long.
Right.
It was so intense, you know.
Wow.
And also, Rainbow and I, my wife, we wanted a house, we wanted a family, we wanted kids, we wanted to settle down. So. Joining Leftover Salmon not only was a chance to work with really good friends, but it was a chance for me to establish credit, get a house, get the health care, have kid one, thing one and thing two came along.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot here, mostly in the context of the tip jar. There is a tip jar here, and, you know, some of us would like to, you know, pay off a mortgage or put braces on our kids' teeth, maybe get them out of the house eventually. And so your generosity really helps with that. There is a tip jar. It looks more like an urn, which is odd, but we'd love it if you'd be extra generous. You don't have to do it now. Don't everybody come at once.
The jar has a name.
It does.
Philip.
Well,
Philip,
maybe
the tip jar.
Maybe someone could take Philip for a stroll here in a little bit, but I digress. So you wrote a drum method book. Is this the first time you've been published?
Yes, self-published.
Amazing.
And, you know, the pandemic really invited me to be creative from the couch. So I put together all my chicken scratching from when I was 17. I've been transcribing rhythms ever since a teenager. And I had stacks and stacks of loose papers everywhere. But for Christmas, I got an iPad, and then I bought a $10 app called iWrite Music. And it was it's very intuitive. It's not like Sibelius or Finale where you really have to learn, like going to college to do this stuff. This was really intuitive, and it wrote out drum charts and drum music. So I organized all my stuff from the past 45, 50 years into something that looked good, looked presentable and clean. So I decided, well, this kind of looks like a book. Why don't I just go ahead and do it? And also, I was looking online for a book that was kind of a thesaurus of rhythm. I wanted to go to a place where I could study phrasing and study syncopation. And those exist in snare drum reading books and stuff like that, but not really to the, not as much as I wanted to find.
Yeah.
So I couldn't find it out there, so I decided to write it.
You made it.
I wrote it, yeah.
Where can people find that book?
On my website, which is jeffsitemusic.com.
Fantastic. That's amazing. I just have a handful more questions here. I read in an interview you said that music is pure and business is ruthless.
Don't you agree?
I do. It seems that for you, music is a spiritual pursuit, an offering you make, and a path to self-awareness. Has this always been your orientation?
Since 14.
My man.
Yeah.
Man.
That's why I didn't last in a lot of groups, you know, like just ride that wave until, you know, all flowers bloom and decay. And very rarely do you have a band that stays together from high school or college all the way up, like the Rolling Stones or Fish or Widespread Panic or some of these groups that stay together.
Yeah.
And they're the only group they've ever known, but they've really gone and developed it.
Right.
I've had a bouquet of flowers that have bloomed and decayed, and some have a second bloom. It's just really cool.
How do you reconcile this with the business of making a career and needing to put a roof over your head? Do you like just pursue musical truth and then allow the chips to sort of fall as they may?
Yes. I look at this career as there's a fork in the road. You're on your path. You're practicing. You want to be a professional. But there's ambition and there's aspiration. And you need a healthy balance of both. If you're purely ambition-driven, then you knock everything out of your way.
Yeah.
If you're purely aspirational, you might not have enough ambition to really push yourself that far. So I think it's a balance for me. I want to stay aspirational. I want to involve spirit, and spirit is in the word aspiration. And so I took a left at the fork.
And it's brought you here.
Yeah.
All right. Lightning round, which means nothing, really. What advice would you give to your 15-year-old self?
Wow. Eat floss. I think floss.
Please give that advice to your drum students as well.
Yeah.
My son could use a little dose of that. What color is your front door?
I want it to be red.
Oh, well, what's stopping you?
It's, well, I got a partner, you know.
Yeah.
She got something to say about it. Fire engine red, I think, would be fantastic. Chinese red.
I love that.
But it's wood.
Okay.
Wood.
Just wooden. Just a couple more questions. Jeff, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of anything?
I think I'm afraid of my own insecurity, which is weird. Yeah. Yeah, I shouldn't be.
Wow. You know?
It kind of freezes me sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's nice. That rattled my cage. What do you hope for?
Ah, peace on earth, you know. Hey, there's a lot to hope for these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you all know what I'm talking about.
We do. And the final question, Jeff, what is it that brings you happiness?
I was sitting here with you.
That's the right answer. That's Jeff Sipe, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. We'll get back to the music. Really appreciate that, Jeff.
If you're enjoying the show with Jeff Sipe, check out episode... Well, honestly, there are no episodes even remotely like this one. If you dig the podcast, start at the beginning or work your way backwards. Thanks for listening, and after the show, be sure to leave a rating and review. Now back to the show.
Not here.
Travis Book Happy Hour is brought to you by Americana Vibes, the world's premier Americana music label. More at AmericanaVibes.com. The Travis Book Happy Hour is supported by Thompson Guitars, makers of fine instruments handmade with love in Sisters, Oregon. The crew at Thompson carries on Preston's legacy with handcrafted guitars, enjoyed by some of the finest players on the scene. More at pktguitars.com. Look for the Happy Hour House Band Music Compilation Volume 2, featuring Lindsay Liu, Nikki Bloom, Travis Book, Kyle Tuttle, and more, due out on Americana Vibes in the summer of 2023. The Travis Book Happy Hour podcast is now available on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. The 8 new episodes of Season 3 launch April of 2023 with guests like Tim O'Brien, Jim Lauderdale, Christina Vane, and more. available wherever podcasts are found. And now, back to the show.
I've been having such a hard time. I need to hear you on the other end of the line. Want the cold wind to blow me back on down the road. I keep having the same bad dream. I wanna know exactly what it means. We're the ones that I love, they don't know that I've been gone. I better head back home. Oh, yeah, better head back home. Another drink and I might forget. Do some things that I might regret. But when I get to the bottom, I only feel more alone. It's good to be back home. Oh, yeah, good to be back home. I can see it in my dreams. Almost feel that warm summer breeze. Will it still be standing there, or will it be gone? Thank you. starting to see the lights of the old town. Gonna dig my roots deep into the ground. Let that moss gather on this rolling stone. It's good to be back home. Oh, oh, yeah, good to be back home.
This has been the Travis Book Happy Hour podcast. Thanks for listening. Huge thanks to Jeff Seip, Daniel Seraph, Thompson Guitars, Americana Vibes, 185 King Street, and the Bluegrass Situation. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe and leave a positive review. It really helps us out. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at the Travis Book Happy Hour and online at thetravisbookhappyhour.com. And remember, it's okay to be happy.